This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
Speaking to you from Alice Tully Hall in Lincoln Center in New York City. All right, we have a goodly crowd today. Great. The more right-thinking people that get together, the more effective our whole action of consciousness is. Because we know that consciousness is the ultimate reality. We know that the thinking, feeling nature of the individual is the key to everything. That's why we talk about it every Sunday. And all week long, in fact. Your thinking, feeling, nature is the key to everything. Not what you have, not what you do, because you can't do anything without your thinking, feeling, nature. Couldn't even get here this morning if you hadn't thought. You had to figure it out. So, you're here, I'm here, and all is well. All right, let's be still and speak a word to our own subconscious mind. We believe in God, the living spirit, almighty. We believe in mind as its action and love as its atmosphere. We believe in mind as its action and love as its atmosphere. We believe that this is now in action in each one of us, working through us, by means of us. It is the action of our consciousness, our thinking, feeling, nature. Now this action is always beneficent, always for greater good. And so as a result of this fellowship together, including our radio audiences, we shall be improved people. All right, subconscious, you have it. So be it. Shall we turn to the third inside page of your program for our thought? By the way, many people stopped me outside last Sunday and said they liked this. They wanted some more. We're going to have it next month, too. Wonderful words to a great old tune. Abide with me, thou consciousness of God, lest to myself I seem but clay or clod. Made in God's image, I divine must be. Thou pure God consciousness, abide with me. All right, grand tune. Let's stand and sing it with authority. it'll clarify as we go along. It's called Ride the Donkey, which is a very, may I say, flippant way of saying Palm Sunday. So, I'm sure that people who saw the advertisement in the New York Times yesterday said, what on earth is that man going to think of next? Now, we discipline everything except our minds. I don't mean you. We try, most people. Think of your friends, your co-workers. They discipline quite often everything except their minds and their emotions. And they discipline their bodies, and they watch what they eat. Some people take exercise. I avoid it. But some people love it. That's good. I'm glad they do. Anytime you go jogging, you just say, I'm jogging also for Raymond Charles Barker. And I'll see if it has any effect. We discipline our appetite. We discipline everything. Then we forget that the key to the whole thing is mind. And we let our minds just run rampant. We think anything we want to think. We feel anything we want to feel. We don't like these people. We don't like those. We can't stand the people in the office or whatever it is. And we just let the mind run away with itself. Now, for over 100 years, this teaching of metaphysics has been a mind discipline system. We know that if the mind is disciplined, then the experience of the individual will be disciplined and will probably be what he or she wants it to be. That's what we're talking about here. Now, it's interesting that the monastic orders in the old churches, that was their key idea. Discipline and mental discipline. They had to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning or maybe even 5 and pray for 3 hours in the chapel before they could get any coffee. And that's a real dedication. How would you like it if I told you had to get up for 3 hours early in the morning before you could have any coffee? First of all, you wouldn't do it. So it's a useless question. Now, and they would discipline themselves all day long. And in the evening, they discipline themselves mentally and emotionally. Now, you and I don't do it in that way, but we certainly should do it in some way. We had a teacher here in New York some years ago, and his whole slogan was, think what you want and want what you think. Now, I admit that's corny. But it's important. Think what you want what you think. And the latter half is even more important. Because when your mind goes off on a negative tangent, as it happens during the week, you do not want the results of it, even though you're doing it. You go off on a tangent, anger, resentment, fear, whatever it is, and you don't want the results of it, and yet you do it. Now, where the mind goes is where you go. You go where your mind takes you. And you are the only thinker in your mind. You can decide what goes on in your consciousness. This is the whole bit. You can decide. Now about this dunk. It says in the Gospel of John that when, this is Palm Sunday, when Jesus drew nigh unto Bethany, that he said to two of his disciples, go over there and get me a donkey on which no man has ever sat. And they went over. They got the donkey. They brought it to him. And it says they put their garments on it And he rode down the hill to Jerusalem to receive a triumphal entrance. Now, any of you that have ever seen, even on TV or movies, a real rodeo show, a real one, and you may have seen it in person, you understand, of course, exactly what this means. That donkey should have shaken Jesus off, kicked him off, thrown him off in about 30 seconds. Because you have seen what they do in rodeo. They come out through the door, and that poor man on the back struggles to keep there and eventually is thrown, sometimes 20 seconds. Absolutely. The animal is unruly and knows what it wants. It doesn't want somebody riding on its back. Now, it's interesting that Jesus rode into Jerusalem calmly. Furthermore, all the crowds were there. This is the day when the prophets all came in on donkeys, by the way. He wasn't the only one. And they had their palm branches, because there were palm trees, they cut them. And they strewed them, and they shouted. Hosanna, praise him who cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, if you have any background of English ceremonial, the horses which draw the carriages that the queen uses are constantly being disciplined so that crowds don't bother them. And they are deliberately taken out for rehearsals and have everybody shout and make a lot of noise, and they remain steadfast. But it takes years of training for those horses to be that steadfast. So that when the time comes for the queen to come out of Buckingham Palace in a coach, those horses are right there, and the crowds can cry and rave all they want. Those horses, and another thing they protect them from is bands. They get them so that they can go right past the band and not even notice them. So, now, what about this donkey? Says it was not broken in. This donkey represents your consciousness. You'd better sit on it and calm it down and go where you want to go. Not where your emotions take you. Now, Jesus knew exactly where he was going. He'd gone over this pathway many, many times in the course of his travels. And so, he got on the donkey, and it went down. Through the crowd, the shouting, the yelling, the hollering. Hosanna, Hosanna, praise thee, he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, what do you do when you get all upset? That's why I call this talk today, you'd better ride your donkey. The donkey is you when you're all disturbed. It's you when you're all confused, unhappy, miserable. Then you'd better get on the back of your own donkey and put order into your conscience. That's what you have to do. Now, that's the whole purpose of this teaching, you know. What we call spiritual mind treatment is nothing more than that. It is pausing and taking control of consciousness. And it is determining what it is we want, and then thinking it, feeling it, knowing it, and then we are directed. Ideas that are valuable can never come in a confused mind. If you have any creative aspect at all to your life, you know this. This afternoon I'm going to be writing articles for the July magazine, A Creative Thought, for which I write every month. I'm going to be absolutely alone, no radio on, and I'm going to sit at that desk and plow. Now, I'll do a great deal of spiritual thinking about it. I'll do it with ease. I'll do it in order. It'll go in the mail tonight to the editor. But I have to be alone. I cannot have confusion around me and do creative writing. That's why I write almost not at all in my office, because the phone, even if I shut the doors to it, I can hear sounds outside and all. Now, and by the way, when I sit at my desk this afternoon, I always say, please, Lord, no ambulances or fire trucks. Because where I live, they love to go by. Now, they serve a great purpose, so if they do go by, I just give them my blessing. Because they're helping someone. But creative ideas do not come into confused minds. Many ideas come in, oh yes, but they're usually even more disastrous. Even more disastrous. If you want clear, correct knowing, you've got to be simple in thought. Now that's why we've had this great interest in this country on meditation. People are trying to simplify and direct consciousness. Thank God. Now we've been doing it for 100 years. And of course in the East they've been doing it for thousands of years. Whenever I read any one of the great prophets, can be an Isaiah or a Jesus, I am always intrigued by the simplicity of their presentation. In some instances, it can even be condemnatory. But it's clear. You know what the man is saying. Now, there are other books that are utterly confusing, such as the book of Revelation. No one knows what that says, so don't try. But these great minds, and many others since, because Revelation didn't stop with the book, have always had simple ideas. Look, we've had how many thousands of years of teaching such simple things as man is the image and likeness God. Simple as can be. Or a rather vague statement that we've used down through the years, God is love. Again, simplicity. You could use many, many more from many other sources. Read your Emerson. If you want some great, simple ideas. Right to the line. It's there. Read anybody else. Now, read our book. Direct, clear, to the point, no nonsense, because we know that confused thinking doesn't get anyone anywhere except into more confusion. That's all. Now, I watch people because it's part of my business. I'm interested in people. I rode a bus yesterday. It was very interesting. And the people on the bus. Very intrigued. I could almost tell you, I couldn't tell you the actual material they had in their minds, but I could sort out the happy ones from the miserable ones. And there weren't many happy ones. Weren't many happy ones. They were all so intense. Not many of them talk. Couples here and there. But they were so intense. Oh, my. And you knew that they, of course, they had all their packages from the shopping. And you knew that they had been intense in their shopping, probably intense coming on. But you also knew they were probably unhappy most of the time. So, I looked around and I said, oh good, there's one man that looks happy. I think that young girl over there looks happy. Then I said, all right, Parker, do you look happy? Because I always have to figure, what do they see when they look at me? What do they see when they look at me? I quite often have people in the lobby after our lectures say to me, Dr. Parker, that's a beautiful suit you're wearing. And I thank them very much. And when I go home, I think, well, is that all they saw? What about this head of hair I've got? What about this face? You know, my shiny shoes. At any rate, I'm flattered that they at least saw the suit. Sometime, ask yourself, what do people see when they look at me? What is this thing I present to the world? And? Good question, Anne. Because your presentation to the world, whether you be an extrovert or an introvert, not everybody has to be noisy, but it should be definite. It should be clear. It should be pleasing. Because you people by now should have pleasing states of consciousness. Not harassment, not fear, but a sense of the well-being of life. That life is good, life is wonderful, life has in it unlimited possibility, and the whole world tells you that isn't so. But you and I know it's so. So the whole world shouts at us, wants us to believe in everything possible, much of which is negative. But we people are trying to hold the line. I know there's all kinds of troubles out there in the world. I'm not stupid at all. But I'm running only one world, me. I'm only running one world, myself. And the only world you can run is yourself. And it is a full-time job. And remember the words that we sang earlier. Made in God's image, I divine must be. So people say quite often to us, you to me, oh, I'm just a mess. So, when they say that to me, I say, well, quit it. Let's get straight on something. I don't want you a mess. If you're going to be a mess, you don't need to be around me. Well, I'm afraid of this, afraid of that, afraid of the other, afraid of that, no. I said, well, let's shift your attention over to the other side of life. There is one life, one mind, one spirit, and it's in action now, as it always has been and as it always will be, and the people that know it straighten out the mess. And the people that don't know it go merrily on with their mess. Not a pleasant word, is it? They're trouble. That's better. Gone their way. You see, most people in trouble do not realize that they can solve problems. They are problem-ridden. And they do not pause long enough in their recital of their troubles to let an idea happen on the constructive side of life. In my counseling work, I quite often have people who have problems, no question about it, and they talk, and finally I look at my watch and I say, well, now, you talk for 25 minutes about your trouble. Let's take 5 minutes to talk about the solution. And I give them what we call a spiritual mind treatment. And we clear up. We clear up. Then I say to them, all right, everything you have said, I have dumped into my wastebasket, which is right beside the desk, and they can see it. And you're walking out of this room clear and free of it. Now, sometimes they respond, other times, you know from the way they walk across the room to the door that it hasn't even started to touch them. That they're going to be right on that merry-go-round. See, your problem mind is a merry-go-round mind. Around and around it goes. Now, in an amusement park, it stops every so often for you to get off and get a new ticket. If you want to go back on. But when the mind gets going around, it just doesn't. doesn't stop. So a person will say to you, oh, I was in such worry and fear last night, I didn't sleep a wink. First of all, don't always believe that. People sleep more than they think they do when they're disturbed. You know, I've had people say to me, Dr. Barker, I haven't slept in a week. First of all, that's an impossibility. You'd be in a hospital. Your body couldn't take it at all. Now, it's a beautiful thing to say because it creates great attention. Oh, dear, you haven't, you know? And I say to them, come on now. Come on. And what do you discover? You discover they take cat naps in the middle of their worry. They take cat naps. Yeah. I studied with a very great teacher. I will not give the name because he was a very prominent man. But he always had to have, when he was in meditation, he always had to have his wife next to him. Because every once in a while we were supposedly deep in meditation, he'd snore. She'd take her elbow, nudge him. Oh, we'd come up. We go back into this quiet time again. 5 minutes later, oof. Anyway, I kept her elbow in good shape. And this is a dear person, so I'm not making fun of the man. It's just that he was quite elderly, and he needed a cat. So he got it. I'm sure he got 8 to 10 hours sleep a night, too. Now, this merry-go-round. See you tomorrow if you're going to be on it. Check once in a while during the week. The same old thing in the same old world without a single new variation of the same old tune. I'm unhappy and I won't even start it. But that merry-go-round is going to control you until you stop it and get off. And that you can do anytime you want to discipline yourself. Ride the donkey. Get on that donkey. Take control. And say, all right, I don't want this. Well, then why am I going on with all my circular running around with thinking it, feeling it, repeating it endlessly? You all have friends. That if you were to invite them to your apartment or your home, you know exactly before they come what they're going to talk about. Because it's what they talked about the last time they were over. And it's what they talked about when you went to their place. You know before they come. This is terrible. That's terrible. Certain individuals are all crooks. On and on and on it goes. Now, I don't do much entertaining. I do some, not much. And I try to entertain the people who will not just go on that merry-go-round of everything that's wrong. Watch who you invite to your house because they're going to bring their minds with them. You hear me? Watch who you invite to your home. They're going to bring their problems, their opinions, their biases, their prejudices, and they're going to mouth them. They're going to mouth them. Now, if otherwise they're good company, just nod your head yes. At certain times, it's like the telephone. You can hold it away from your ear and just say once in a while, yes, yes. And the person on the other end is sure to listen to every word. Just say, yes, yes. Oh, I know, I know. Yep. It's too bad. And they're perfectly happy. The other end. Now, ride your donkey. Get that mind of yours under your control and don't let the office run it. And don't let the family run it, and don't let somebody else run it. You run it. Now, you're still going to be in the office, you're still going to be in the family. You're still going to participate in all the world functions. No sense of withdrawing from it. But you're going to run you. You're going to run Nuke. Can you, there's no record of it. But can you imagine the advice the great prophet got? Your Buddha, your Jesus, your Isaiah, and all the rest of them. The advice people would give these people. Just, I'm sure. Because they do it with me, they do it with you. Everybody knows what I ought to do and what I ought not to do. Everyone knows what I ought to eat and what I ought not to eat. And I don't pay him any attention. But the advice, now you don't think that these great spiritual minds escaped it. No. They had close people with them. And they couldn't help but get all kinds of, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. But they went right ahead and did it anyway. They went right ahead and did it. Now, you, in your mind and emotion, that's where God is. That's where life is. That's where causation is. That's where all good is available. Right there. As near as that. As near as your mind and emotion, and you are mind and emotion. I am mind and emotion. We all are. Principle of all psychotherapy. That the individual is mind and emotion, and that it can be handled, and it can be directed, but it has to be done by the individual. That's why no therapist will ever tell you what to do. That's why I do my best to not tell people what to do. I'm talking in consultation work. But I try to have them see it themselves. Oh. So I quite often say to them, when's the last time that you read one of our books again? See, most people read our books once, put them on a shelf. Now, those books should be reread. Any scholar will tell you that you can only get a skimming of it on a first reading of any book. Get one out today and reread it. It'll help. It'll help control that donkey of yours. It'll be a reminder. Which is all I'm doing here now. Reminding you. Get it out. Discipline yourself. Yep. I love to tell an old story, but the old timers will forgive me. As you know, our Science of Mind textbook, our basic text, which is not for beginners, but it's there if you want it. At any rate, about this thick. Has, I think, 1,000 pages. A woman came up to me shortly after I came to New York back there in 1946 and said to me, oh, I've had the most wonderful demonstration over insomnia. And I said, oh, isn't that great? Oh, she says, it's a great spiritual demonstration. For years, she couldn't go to sleep at night. Maybe it'd be 2 to 3 in the morning before she'd finally drop off. So she bought our Science of Mind textbook. And every night, after she got comfortable in bed, she'd open it up. And within 3 minutes, she'd sound asleep. Merely because she couldn't understand it. It wasn't easy reading, so she chose to go to sleep. And she said, now wherever I go, I always take the textbook. Because I know I'll have a sound, nice sleep. Now, I'm not advocating that for you. But I am saying, read and reread, think and rethink, and get in control of you. No one else needs to be controlled but you. Now remember, I'm talking to myself as well as to you good friends. I've got to think this through too. I have to run my life. I have to control my experience. I have to decide just as much as you do. This is a shoe that fits everyone. And when I do, I'm all right. Now, do I occasionally get confused? Of course. But not for long. I get straight. Not for long. But does this mean, Dr. Parker, you never listen to any form of evil? Of course I do. Can't live in everyday life without some of it. Of course I do. Well, do you read the papers? Occasionally, yes. Do you listen to news broadcasts? Occasionally, yes. Ah. Well, how can you ride the donkey? Because I say, all right, that's done, when I shut the radio off. That's done. Or I put the newspaper down in the waste paper basket and say, good, that's done. Period. And then I direct my mind on something creative. If it's only for 30 seconds, I change it. All right, let's go back to that opening phrase that I used. Think what you want what you think. The last half is much more important. Because for 1 minute, you can think what you want. For the lady, it may be a mink coat. For the gentleman, it might be a new suit, whatever. But then what do you think about the rest of your waking hours? Maybe this is why we have that phrase in the good book, says, pray without ceasing, which the monastic orders interpret by their constant prayer. Now, I don't relate to it that way. I think the overtone of your mind is what does it. If you are generally right thinking, fairly happy, I think you're all right. I don't think you need to get on your knees and pray. Now, if you want to, fine. Nothing wrong with it as a method. What is the overtone of your mind? That's where we can determine whether your mind is healthy or unhealthy. By the general overtone of your thinking, feeling, nature. You know it. I know it. Because whenever you're alone, you're thinking, as well as when you're with people. Where you can't shut this mind off. Sometimes one of your friends or mine will all of a sudden just stare into space for 30 seconds. So I said, come on back. What were you thinking about? Oh, nothing. I said, first of all, that's an absolute impossibility. The conscious mind you can only shut off with either drugs or sleep. The conscious mind can only be shut off through something that shuts it off. So when you say, oh, no, nothing, that isn't what you mean at all. Something was going through your mind while you were oblivious to your surroundings. And it may or may not have been important. I'm not saying. But something was going on. Now this good donkey. Wonderful illustration. An illustration that you can run you. So, end of the lesson. Thank you. Now it comes that moment of truth. That moment wherein you contribute financially for the support of our work. We ask you to do it in warmth. And I haven't used the phrase in a long time. I want you to give us happy money. Thank you. Beautiful. Now our announcement. First of all, next Sunday, as you well know, is Easter. So we expect all the ladies to wear their brightest hats, beautiful clothes. We gentlemen will be a little more formal, but not necessarily formal. And we'll all get together here. Now, because of the wonderful music which Mr. Goodman has scheduled, we're going to open the doors at 10:15, and the music will begin at 10:30. You'll want to be here if you like excellent music. We're going to have a string orchestra, and then we're going to have a very great, widely known soprano, Carol Bogard, and it's going to be glorious. So, come early. All right. Now, coming back to today, we're well along toward the end of the month, so you'll need your magazines for April. They're outside waiting for you. The Creative Thought magazine, for which I write the center page article, and Four Treatments, and the Science of Mind magazine. They're both out there. Get them today. We'll have our usual activities of the week. Mr. Herman speaking tonight at 6 o'clock. Oh, and I better tell the radio audience where you'll be speaking and where to write to us. Not, don't write to us here at Alicelli Hall, but write to us at our own edifice, 14 East 48th Street, New York, New York, 10017. Is that the way the radio announcers do it? Yes. Yeah. Remember now, 14 East 48th Street, and the zip is 10017. See, I can sell anything. I'd have been a whiz selling Campbell's soup. Now to come back. That's where Mr. Hermans will be speaking tonight at 6, it's an open meeting, and where Mr. Grayson will be speaking Wednesday night at 6. Yes. I guess. Well, it's already in your program, you can look. Yes. No? Yes. Oh, I don't know. Somebody will be talking at 6 o'clock. Oh. Yes, it is. It's right here in my outline. Mr. Fritz Herman speaks Wednesday night, too. All right, we're starting new classes right after Easter. In fact, the very day after Easter. And we have class outlines outside if you want them. The blue one is my class in the Science of Mind textbook. And the yellow one is Mr. Grayson's class in the Science of Mind also. But I'll be teaching Science of Mind the end of the book and other things. Every noon, a lecture, 12:10 noon, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Wednesday's mine. Tuesday is Mr. Grayson, Thursday is Mr. Grayson, Mr. Pace, Monday, and so on and so forth. Now let's see what else we've got here. All right, cassette tapes are available of every Sunday morning lecture. So if you want today's, you can order it outside at the information table. And if you want some of the pastors, you can order them. And we'll be glad to send both book lists and cassette lists to any of our listening audience who want them. We have only one thing more, and that is that Mr. Grayson is having a weekend seminar on April 11th to 13th up at that beautiful Mohonk House, New Paltz, New York. And if you're interested, the information is outside. Get it. Take it with you. And take part in it. And if you are not going to Mohonk that day, that's a wonderful weekend to come to Tully Hall. You know? Yeah. All right, now let's pull all this thing together again. Ride the donkey. The idea that I am in control of my life, affairs, and experience only when I take control. And this is no casual matter. Only when I take control. And you, in your world. You're going to say, well, but I don't know. All right, then it means you're not going to take control. Then take what goes with the lack of control. Take your problem. And take on everyone else's. Take on the world's problem. Take on the whole bit. And all it'll do is make you age, look strained, and upset your digestive system. What it'll do. Now, get on that donkey. Let the world shout anything it wants to shout. You stay on that donkey and go right straight through to your conclusion. Because everyone will tell you you're wrong. But you're not wrong, you're right. See? It says the pure in heart see God. Meaning the people that don't clutter up their mind and emotions with things they can do nothing about. These are the people that are able to see something creative, optimistic. These are the people that can see it. And by the word see, I mean the whole perception area of consciousness. Pure in heart, see the good. And everybody else sits around with mixed feelings, mixed emotions, and all the bit. Not you any longer. All right, let's stand for our closing word together. There is one God, one mind, one spirit, one truth, and one intelligence. And it is in you, in action by means of you. It is the action of your present mind. The action of your present emotion. The action of all the good in your life. God's the good. In you, through you, as you. It is what you are. And it's what you're going to be forevermore and always have been. So know it. Ride the donkey of consciousness and be what you really are. All right, so be it. Thank you for coming.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.